Hey folks, my name is Tim. Welcome to The Table, the podcast edition. The Table is a community that exists to make room to explore what we believe. What you're about to hear is the podcast edit of something that we do together in person. We just call it the Talky Bit. We're sharing it with you in the hope that it can be a positive contribution and a catalyst for your own exploration, or perhaps something that you share with somebody else you know is exploring what they believe to support and encourage them. In our experience, exploring what you believe can be hard work, exciting, encouraging, but also challenging. And we don't think that anyone should have to do that alone. On a perhaps more personal note, I don't believe that we do it best alone. I think we do it best together with others. We're able to do this work because of the generous support of donors both within and beyond the local community. If you want to contribute to keeping it going, you can find information about how to do that at thetablewinnipeg.com under the Giving tab. Thanks for dropping by.
I titled this talky bit, "Our Machine's Gonna Take Over the World and Other Questions." So usually when Tim Platt asks for a speaker, I kind of think about what I've been thinking about and go with that. I have that luxury because I don't speak as often as Tim does, so... So I had a couple of choices. I have been thinking a lot about menopause, but I figured probably a certain percent of the audience wouldn't want to hear that. So I went with, I've been doing a lot of work and thinking about artificial intelligence in my workplace and in my personal life. And so what does that have to do with spirituality and what we believe? You'll have to find out. So a bit of a disclaimer for me. My role is actually an IT director, which makes me sound super technical, but I'm actually one of three at my company. So my job is to basically figure out how to make things easier for folks using technology or even a better process without technology. So I'm not the person who programs software. Those people don't even report to me. And I'm by no means an expert on artificial intelligence. I'm also not a cyber expert because that will come up, but I've been exposed to a lot of information that can be helpful to all of us in this quickly changing world. When the term artificial intelligence comes to mind, it seems to elicit fear and excitement for others. There's a lot of fiction around artificial intelligence, and it seems to center around machines taking over the world. For others, there seems to be some concern about privacy. Is the computer watching us? What happens when I enable AI features that are quickly being added to more and more technology? I promise I'll get to the impact of this on society and potentially our spirituality, but let's talk about what AI is and is not in its current form. So in general, there's three levels of artificial intelligence. There's artificial narrow, general, and super. So artificial narrow is basically machine learning. It does one thing. And it learns how to do one thing really well. So an example, you know, where I work, we have a facility where they unload rail cars and there's a machine that has figured out how to open the bottom of the rail car really well. It has learned and it's good at that. That's machine learning. Artificial general is basically, they say it's like as smart as a human. So it can do a lot of general things quite well. I would put tools like ChatGPT in that realm, although some people argue that ChatGPT is not artificial intelligence. I don't care. I'm not getting into it. and then there's artificial super. Those are the fictional machines you see who are that are smarter than humans. So, and there's also distinguishing characteristics for how the artificial intelligence is achieved. For instance, ChatGPT is a form of generative AI. It can create something new from information it has, and it has a lot of information. And a lot of the smarts ChatGPT has is literally based on figuring out what the next word is. Of all the data it has, it somehow has started to figure out what the next word is. It does have a lot of information. And the fact that, you know, there is a free version kind of democratized, for lack of a better word, AI. Before then, those models were, they existed, but they were very expensive and not a lot of people had access to them. So, like, there's a free version and then there's another version you can, I haven't paid, so I don't know, but there, you can do slightly more with the paid version, but even with the free version, you can do a lot. I've personally done some cool stuff with ChatGPT. It's helped me to figure out what to say in awkward situations. It has written several job descriptions. It helped me create performance goals for myself and employees. I use it somewhat frequently when I have a task that does not require it to give me proprietary information. So, for instance, I would use it to write a job, write a job description for a job that exists in many other places, and then, but I wouldn't use it to say write a business case for a new project because I would have to put very specific information in there and it would become part of the learning model. So I don't want to, you know, it's kind of, you want to contribute to the learning model, but you kind of don't in some ways. There's certain things. There's also a tool called that Microsoft has called Copilot, which is, I would say, a little behind ChatGPT, but it doesn't, for companies, it doesn't take your data questions into the model, so we're allowed to use it for much more. One cool thing is it actually takes notes for me in meetings, so not only can it transcribe the meeting, but I can say, summarize this meeting, and it does pretty well. I literally had a meeting on Friday where it was kind of funny. It said, this meeting ended with jokes about the timing of the meeting, and it sure did, because the meeting was too, nobody really wants to meet at 2 o'clock on a Friday, but that's the time we had. It can also draft emails and documents for me based on information I have in the system. So I went, as I was putting this together, I decided to play a little bit with ChatGPT. So I asked it, tell me about the Table Winnipeg. It's the only prompt I gave it. So it said, the Table Winnipeg is a community-based organization in Winnipeg, Manitoba, focused on providing support and building community through shared meals and activities. It's part of a broader network of initiatives. So that was wrong, or it wasn't what I was looking for. I guess there's another Table Winnipeg. So the key with ChatGPT is you want to give it a goal. You want to give it context, and you want to give it audience. So I basically said, I'm a pastor. Tell me about the Table Church in Winnipeg. And then it said, the Table Winnipeg is a church community that emphasizes progressive and inclusive approaches to faith. Their beliefs are centered on the following principles. And I would read them, but I'm sure you can find them all on our website. So it does well. So I can do things like, I can say, make it smarter. Oh, it also pointed me to their official website for more information. I could ask it to write a shorter piece. I could ask it to write a longer piece. I could say, in 100 words, tell me this. So things like, you know, if I want to write something about Ramadan so that my staff, you know, we can recognize Ramadan and that, and say, write like 50 words of Ramadan and it'll do it. So I could say, be more technical. I could be least technical. I could say, make me sound smarter and then make me sound less smart. So it has some really cool advantages, and I tend to use it in spaces where it's things I could do, I'm not particularly good at that, and there's no value in me, you know, spending a lot of time. You do have to check it. So when I see what's available, and I'll use ChatGPT as the model, there's some challenges. There's what's called AI hallucinations. So basically, AI, sometimes ChatGPT will give you an answer that is completely wackadoodle and it seems to be less common now. One hallucination that was quite funny, one of my coworkers, we'll call the coworker Bob Jones, wrote down, is Bob Jones the CEO of G3 Canada Limited, which is where I worked. or I still work. And so keep in mind, Bob Jones does work at G3 Canada. That information is publicly available, probably on LinkedIn. But he is certainly not the CEO. So ChatGPT yes, Bob Jones is the CEO of G3 Canada Limited. And it gave him this fictional background that was kind of part of our previous, or the actual CEO's background, and kind of part of it. Like, it was quite funny. However, today, if I ask that same question, it is learned better. So that's been really interesting. Another one that came up is, because keep in mind, it's just trying to predict the next word. So it's making some assumptions too. So I follow a guy, Instagram, his name's Liam something, and he is really, really, he's a health influencer, but he tries to be super realistic. So the question was, what does Liam think about artificial sweeteners? So it came out and I was like, Liam thinks that artificial sweeteners are terrible for you, they blah blah blah, and I'm like, he full on doesn't. Anybody who has followed him followed him for any length of time would know that's just not his vibe. He's like, do what you need to do. So that's really interesting, right? It is just, but because so many influencers on Instagram would say that, and he's a nutrition influencer, it just assumes that that's what he says. I think part of that key too is he probably doesn't have a lot of written content. So that's kind of where it can get tripped up. There is also the possibility of artificial intelligence being biased and making potentially making problematic recommendations and statements. So I can't think of an example that I've come across, but I know it just goes on what it has, right? So if it might not be as inclusive, it might make it also only has data up to a certain point. So it can't read the room, and it may choose the option that serves the call it white straight majority the best without really thinking, because it doesn't think, right? It's just predicting the next words. The third that I came up with is what we call bad actors. So those are like the hackers, the people who try and scam you and that thing. This is the biggest thing with ChatGPT. So ChatGPT it's not in itself infringing on your privacy, but bad actors infringe on your privacy. One of the things that is a much bigger threat than any technology is people who already have your data, even if you're not on social media, say, get hacked. So, like, there's been, London Drugs, Petrocan, now Ticketmaster has been hacked. All of that stuff goes on the dark web, and it is publicly available. So, and then because ChatGPT is available, bad actors can feed a bunch of information into ChatGPT, get it to spit out content and phone numbers and stuff. So, for instance, I frequently get a text from someone claiming to be our CEO with my name on it. And it's not. Thankfully, I know better, but things like that. I don't know about anybody else, but I get so many texts now. Are you looking for work? Yeah. That kind of thing. That could be around.
I'm getting a lot from Amazon. They got a package waiting for me.
Yeah.
And I never order off of Amazon.
Yeah. So it's kind of interesting, or they'll get. So some of those may not be AI driven. But AI makes it so that they can do these things much faster and much easier and be a little more targeted. I even got a guy calling me saying he was from the Royal Bank, blah, 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 and asking me about charges on my visa, which someone from the Royal Bank would do. But then when we got to the end and he asked me for the last 14 digits of my credit card, which would mean he had them all, because if he knew I was at the Royal Bank, he has the other four, right? I was like, no, but very convincing. I think those things are a much bigger threat. And companies are getting companies are getting hacked. So even if you got completely off of social media and all of that and deleted, they would still be able to get information because I suppose that was possible. You have no digital profile, but it's highly unlikely. So that's why I wanted to separate it from privacy, because privacy is out there versus AI. It's not the AI doing it. It's the AI making it faster for these folks to leverage it. But if you have an Android and it's asking you, you know, the upgrade, I believe, has some sort of AI features, that's not the problem. The last one is people trusting without checking for errors, right? So if you do, you know, you take what the tool spits out and you don't check for errors, and then you've sent out an email and you've propagated misinformation. And then the last one that does concern some people is people lacking creativity or, you know, using your own mind. That's interesting because in a way, I think it could change things. I'm sure it's already a pain in the butt for Tim. You know, people using ChatGPT, which they could do for free to write whatever paper, right? On the other hand, I think it just changes the way, you know, we look at things. I mean, I'm already probably not as good of a speller as I could have been if I continued to write by hand or as consistent, because it just fixes it for you. But interesting. So I read a book recently. It was a fiction book. It's set in the 1800s. And there's someone saying that cameras would eventually get so good that people would stop painting. And it made me think about the fact that even though cameras are amazing, we carry cameras in our pockets, they're amazingly realistic. Paintings and other forms of art haven't gone away. And actually, photography has probably become a different form of art. So like that, you know, using AI and all of that, it will become and is becoming another form of creativity. In terms of taking our jobs, machines absolutely will automate tasks done by people they already have. I don't think we can stop that any more than we could have stopped the Industrial Revolution. The key is to make sure we have the ability to train folks for other tasks and to get humans to focus on tasks that they are better at it. Humans are better at design thinking. They're better at thinking out of the box. They're better at, you know, asking questions that AI, or criticizing what AI comes up with. I read this another book probably a year ago now, called A Psalm for the Wild Built, and its sequel, Prayer for the Crown Shy, by Becky Chambers, which is one of Tim Platt's favorites. And this story is told about a world where robots has existed in society, and then somehow the humans and the robots decide to break up, and the robots go and live their own life in a different part of the fictional land. And so they've separated, and the humans start using less technology, but they actually don't get rid of all technology, which is interesting. So they leave the robots to their own, and this monk comes across a robot when he ventures to find somewhat out of bounds. I loved this book. These books, would totally recommend them. And it came back to me as I was writing this talky bit, because I remembered a chunk of the first book where the robot describes watching something grow for decades. We can't do that. Even if our connection or our concentration was good enough, our physical needs mean we would have to leave a position to tend to them. But imagine the information that we can't catch that the robot could. Imagine small changes in patterns that it could detect that we could not. So now, instead of manually watching a plant grow, imagine having access to billions of data sources and being able to summarize that into information that is helpful. Imagine not having to collect that yourself. Could it help recognize things, important things that we have missed? At minimum, could it reduce the noise? I'm sure I'm not the only one who wishes they could spend less time on ChatGPT, less time on their computer or phone. Cool thing is tools like ChatGPT get rid of a lot of noise. So rather than searching dozens of websites for hours, it can do it in seconds. It actually has the ability to get me the answer without having hours to search for it. What if AI can give me time and space to do what I do best, be a human? That to me creates so much more room to explore what I believe. So at the risk of being accused of clickbait with my titles, Will Machines Take Over the World? I can't really answer that in a way that will satisfy anyone. The short answer is I don't really think a robot, computer, whatever, will become our master. I do think technology will take over a lot of tasks. It will also be something that comes alongside us in our day-to-day decisions to help us get better. So I'm cautiously optimistic about what AI can do because it could really make things a lot easier and just give me more time to think and be spiritually connected.